Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We have the privilege, from time to time, of talking with members of Congress who are in the front lines, as I see it, in the legislative branch of the United States Congress, on that war. And one of the men that I've come to admire most in that regard is our first guest. He is Congressman Scott Perry. He represents the people of the 4th District of my native state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, also of the Homeland Security Committee. And he is a very valued guest here. We're always pleased to have him. For the start of a new year, happy new year to you, Congressman. Welcome back.
Well, happy new year to you, Frank, and your listeners as well.
Thank you. I'm interested in getting your take. We'll be talking with your colleague, Congressman Ted Poe, shortly for his. But you were in the audience last night, I'm assuming, and had a chance to hear the State of the Union address. What did you make of it more generally, but specifically the president's rather blithe assurances that American power is unrivaled in the world and our standing has never been better?
All right, so let's start on the upside, Frank. I think we can all agree that the president gives a great speech. However, people like you and me look at the substance, and that's where things start unraveling, and that's where, of course, they did for me as well. And certainly, I heard what the president said about American power and how great it is and how no one challenges it, us. And I do agree that American power is great. However, it's meaningless if there's never the threat, the credible threat of ever in any circumstance whatsoever using it. And I would say our adversaries around the globe know this. And when he says that no one challenges America or its allies, I'm nearly speechless, obviously. I mean, as a matter of fact, I would say, who among our enemies haven't challenged us in this last 7 years? Can you name any? Because I have difficulty finding any that haven't challenged us. And I would also say, to a certain extent, challenged us successfully, unfortunately.
Congressman, you neglected to mention your service in uniform. You are a colonel in the reserves, and understand congratulations are in order. You've been designated as a potential selectee for a general officer rank.
Yeah, I've been blessed many times in my life, and this is one I'm actually wearing the rank now. I pinned it on in November.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well done, then. General, let me just say, as well as Representative Perry. One of the things that I was struck by is that your colleagues across the aisle made a point of pandering, I think is the right word for it, but nonetheless trying to include Muslims in their invitees. Among them were at least two who have been associated with a group known as the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which, as you know, was founded by Hamas. What do you make, Congressman, of our situational awareness, a military term, about the enemy within, the jihadist threat within?
Well, I'll tell you, this is what concerns me. I have many, as you know, and I imagine you do as well, many good Muslim friends and supporters. That having been said, it's like saying that if you invite someone that's in prison, some American that served time for murder, that he's a reflection of all Americans. And while there are certainly many peaceful Muslims and secular Muslims living in the United States, and it's great, and they're great Americans, the ones that come from CARE have a very different strategy and plan for America, and it concerns me. This is the group that was the unindicted co-conspirators, unindicted by this president, by the way, in the Holy Land Foundation investigation, which was in support, using American front groups to support terrorist activities all across the globe. And of course, what concerns me and you very greatly is their plan for America, which is the theocratic takeover of our government and our state and our way of life. And that's not something we support. Inviting those people to the State of the Union is very telling and it's very concerning when you go back to the sleepy way we dealt with communism in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and the ultimate results around the globe of dealing with a communist China, North Korea, you name it, Vietnam, Cuba, and all the countless lives that have been lost and the expense based on our failure to recognize the enemy among us then. And now I watch it, the parallel happening right now in front of me before my very eyes in 2016.
Congressman Scott Perry, let me just ask you about another part of your portfolio, because it was striking in the president's remarks yesterday, and we'll talk again with Congressman Poe a bit about this too, but he made the point that the Islamic State, which he insists on calling ISIL, is not an existential threat to this country. And again, you're a military man. You have a sense of the various kinds of threat vectors we face. The one that I, frankly, are most concerned about, and I imagine you are too, on your you happen not only to be on the Homeland Security Committee, but I should have mentioned as well the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. But the infrastructure of this country, the backbone, the most critical of critical infrastructures, as you know, is the grid. And there's evidence that the Islamic State, among others, is seeking to attack it through cyber and other means. How serious a problem should we regard that as being? And should we take the president's blithe assurances at face value or not?
Well, the president's blithe assurances are meaningless. It's the same president that told us ISIS was the JV team, same president that told us he had them contained. Meanwhile, they have affiliates all around the globe, and we watched attacks in Paris 1 week and then in California 2 weeks later. So he has no credibility in that regard. And, of course, we all need to be, I think, exceptionally concerned about our infrastructure, the electricity grid in particular. Just think about the times when the electricity has been out off at your house for, I don't know, half an hour, and how debilitating it is to our daily life. And then picture that on a broad scale, especially in urban centers where people have got to, you know, water pumps it up 100 pumps, electricity pumps water up 100 stories, or you can't get out of the building without an elevator feasibly. And a long-term prospect, and when I say long-term, let's say the power's out for a span of weeks to maybe a month, which is not out of the realm of possibilities with the weapons they consider and the plans that they may be considering. It would be devastating. It would be total anarchy, in my opinion. And yeah, so we have to take it. These people have said they're coming for us, and we have no reason to believe that they don't have every intention of doing it and acting accordingly.
I know you haven't seen this film yet. I had the privilege of watching a preview of it last night, 13 Hours, it's called. But again, having served in combat with your 44 missions as a helicopter pilot in Iraq, you have an appreciation that most of us don't, thank God, of what close contact with the enemy can be like. This film is a dramatic portrayal of what happened in Benghazi on the 11th of September, 2012. And Congressman, I know you're not on the Select Committee on Benghazi, but I'm wondering what you make of the fact that with all this time passed and numerous committees having looked into this, we still don't have accountability for what this film very dramatically shows, that we did not do what we could to save those who were in extreme peril.
Well, there's a lot of questions, Frank, unanswered. And no matter how many committees and panels you have, the administration, we all know, we can see it. It has been stonewalling since the beginning, number one. Number two, panels in Congress and committees in Congress are really no way to get to the facts. You need investigators and you need depositions, and those are the things that get to the facts. So with all due respect to the things that came before, they were ineffectual for a lot of different reasons. That all having been said, you must ask yourself, what was important enough to have this thing fly under the radar, to have this ambassador travel without security, to set up this post in this location away from the away from our normal diplomatic mission in Indian country, in hostile territory. What's driving that? And then, of course, why? Why in every other case when operators and people put themselves in harm's way when they have a plan to get out? I've been in the military, Frank, for 35 years. We don't do anything without a risk assessment. We barely go to the bathroom without a risk assessment. And I suspect a risk assessment was done on this as well. Somebody dropped the ball intentionally, or they were doing something there they didn't want to do. The net effect was is that we don't know what they were doing, but I suspect they were running guns into Syria through Libya. But finally, and most importantly, those young men fighting for their country lost their lives, and our ambassador was killed and just her unspeakable things happened to him. Our credibility has been diminished, and we left Libya essentially a failed state under Mrs. Clinton's watch. And you're right, there is no accountability. And I think, I hope that they're finally getting to some of the answers. It's going to be a long road, but as much as they want to blame the committee for taking so long, you can't get to the answers when the administration drips and drabs the information out that you request over a term of years, and you know this.
Congressman Scott Perry, we have to let you go back to work. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you'll be back with us frequently in 2016. Keep it up, my friend. Diana West, as promised, is up next, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.